Yo, 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 it's your boy Michael Trioteo, checking in from the Ghetto Flower. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to all of those supporters out there who've been showing love to the Ghetto Flower Season 5. I promise this is the best season yet. And now, let's get into today's episode with a very, very special guest. Be sure to like and subscribe, and be sure to never miss your chance to wake up and smell the flowers. Because after all, we are all Ghetto Flowers. Yo, 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 it's your boy Michael Trioteo, and I'm here with the Ghetto Flower, Fresh Flowers Podcast. You already know what it is. Got my co-host Q in the building. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? I'm excited for this one, bro.
Hell yeah, you already know we back at it. Today, we got a very special guest. If you don't mind introducing yourself.
What's up, y'all? Matt Muse. I'm a rapper from out south. What's up?
You more than a rapper, bro, but we'll get into that episode.
That's true. I actually wanted to, starting off this episode, I wanted to actually get into... Actually, the show you were just at last night, bro.
Yeah, like,
kind of break that down, bro. Yeah. Like, we're going to get into the whole love and happiness, but, like, let's just break down just the show you were just at last night. Like, how was it, bro?
It was incredible. It was, like, really, really good. Like, I don't say this normally, but I think it might have been perfect.
Really? It was perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was a show called Bar for Bar, celebration of lyricism and poetry. I'll just give you out a background of, like, how it came about and then how it went. So one of my homies, he hit me up, like, Jack Daniels is trying to, you know, throw a show for their art, beats, and lyrics event in Chicago. Like, they do lead-up events when they do them in different cities. And they're like, you trying to, I'm like, sure. And so they wanted me to do, like, a headliner, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, usually you wait till the project is out or something like that to do the headliner. So I'm like, you know, let me, like, tweak it a little bit. How can I put a spin on it that feels a little bit more comfortable for me? So I was like, like, I want to throw a show that celebrates the artists who I like, you know what I'm saying, in Chicago as lyricists and poets as well. So we just threw, like, a little open mic in the first hour. It was a curated open mic, so I invited a bunch of homies to come and spit and do their poetry. And then the folks on the bill were Myquel, Naira, and Rach Jackson. I love all of them as poets and lyricists. So they pulled up, and then I did my thing as well. And it was great. It was at Reggie's music joint, which is, like, a smaller little, like, bar restaurant feel right next to the bigger venue. And I had never been in there or did a show there before. But it was, like, perfect. The audience was outstanding. They were, like, the energy in the room was very, very, you could feel it, you know, from start to finish. All the performers did an amazing job. Everybody checked them out too. Myquel, Naira, Rach Jackson. And it was fun as hell. We had Bro God on the ones and twos, which is my homie who hasn't DJ'd in forever. You know what I'm saying? And
so he brought him out.
It was just a good time. It was one of those events that was, like, a lot of people were telling me that they miss, like, poetry nights and vibes like that. You know what I'm saying? And so I think people came in there with the energy of, like, yo, I've been wanting to see this for a while. And that was felt in the room. I hosted it as well, too. So I hosted and performed, had both caps on. And it was cool, man. Like, I had a good time. It was amazing.
That's great, man.
That's crazy how you could, you know, do that. And, like, how, like, you know, I don't want to get into, you know, too deep right now. But, like, how does it feel to, like, actually do that? You know, to host and perform. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I'm an MC, man. Like, I'm, you know, at heart. And and so for me, I love being on stage and I love talking to people just as a person, like, on stage, and I love talking to people. And I think, you know, with the years under my belt of doing this, it feels very second nature, like, when I'm on stage doing whatever. And so it's not really even a thought, like, it was just like, cool, you know. And you know, I worked in Young Chicago Authors hosting their open mic for so many years. It's just like, you just have a flow with it now. You're up and down, who's next, who's on deck, bring them up, go down. And then you know, the cool thing we did was, like, Rach, she went right before me, so she introduced me. Because I think that's always the conflict when you're hosting. Like, who the hell is going to, how do I, you know, you know what I'm saying? And so we set it up where she introduced me, which is really cool. But it's very fun. Like, if I had to put an adjective with it, fun is the one I would use. It's so much fun to do it because I think, especially people who haven't seen me, I think I have a very specific performance style. You know what I'm saying? I think it's very different than my hosting style. When I host, I'm very loose, very goofy. I talk shit. I curse a lot. Like, I'm very much so just, like, talking my shit when I'm hosting. I'm in a fun way. Like, you know, joking with the crowd. You know, making fun of people, making people laugh, making people talk. But I think when I start rapping, it feels very, like, intense. Like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? And so I think it's always cool to see that shift, you know what I'm saying, when you've been hosting and being goofy. And it's like, oh, but this nigga can actually rap. Shit. Right, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that was the vibe. It was very fun. Yeah.
So like, let's, because we're going to get for sure into all that. Because, like, that's really why I want to touch base on. But, let's kind of get into the roots. parents, bro. Because like, where does that like start from? Because like you said, you know, you're MC at heart, and that, that kind of touch bases more on just being a rapper. You feel me?
Yeah.
So like, where's the roots come in at? Like, you know, like where, like, you know, Little Matt Muse, bro.
Yeah,
like,
where, Little Matt Muse.
Let's start there, Matt. Bro. You feel me?
I'll say my father. He has a very powerful voice. You know, he's a really strong speaker. Very confident. Mother as well, very confident. You know, strong speaker. I don't know if they would consider themselves public speakers per se, but like in the crib, communication was a thing. You know what I'm saying? And so like, I used to be shy, but like, once I got past the shyness of being a young person, like speaking was very easy because I was raised by people who speak really well. You know what I'm saying? And like talking, like talking was a thing in my crib all the time. When we got in trouble, we got talked to. You know what I'm saying? We had conversations about it, and so I think it starts there. And then I also, you know, I love good events. And so I think that when you go to enough bad events, you know what I'm saying?
that I like. He was just talking about
no real shit. Like, the way, the thing that kills me is a bad host, man. Like, oh, man. And, you know, I went to Northern Illinois University. A lot of my, like, chops, you know what I'm saying, were made there. I went to a lot of horrible events at NIU. I went to a lot of good events and in between. Really? And I'm the type of person that's like, okay, if I'm going to be throwing an event, these are all the things I'm not about to do. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If I'm going to host, these are all the mistakes I'm not going to make.
Right.
And so I think I curated like my hosting style around the events that I wanted to see or the way that I want it to feel when someone's hosting, you know? And so I think those are the two things. And I think also just being an MC, the question about like, where did the MC, you know, come from? I think I was just saying this to someone the other day where I feel like my hip hop origin is right between the end of the golden era of the 90s and the era that we're in now. And so I feel like I still have so much love for like the roots of hip hop. And the roots of hip hop is like, there's like a, what's the word? Like being an MC was not just a thing you said, like it was like mastering the room. Like your job was to be the master of the ceremony. To rap, but to move the crowd and control the crowd. Exactly. And I think the thing for me is like, that's just part, because that's the hip hop I grew up on. That's just part of my natural, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just things I don't do. I don't rap over show tracks, you know, like I don't rap over my track.
Okay.
Like, I was raised to not do that. A lot of people do, you know what I'm saying? But like, it drives me crazy, you know what I'm saying? It drives me crazy when people do it, because I was taught to not do that. I was taught that you're supposed to rap over the beat. You know what I'm saying? And so that's an example, but like of that like origin, like I was taught to control the room, not just talk, you know what I'm saying? And so that's like the origins to it.
I feel that. I love the way you broke down like the events, because like bro said, we were just talking about that. So like what makes like a good event and like a bad event? You know, like I guess like give like a scenario, like a good one and a bad one.
And I mean, there's so much that makes an event bad or good. But I think like with,
I guess you're
hosting,
you know.
From my experience, to me, hosting is always number one.
I feel you.
I think your host has to understand their power, you know what I'm saying, in a room. Like when you're hosting something, like you are the level setter for the entire, you know what I'm saying? Your intro could make or break how the crowd receives the performer coming up that they may have never heard of. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So I think bad events always feel bad when the host is bad. So that's one. And I think like events that don't have time constraints. Like I'm really, really big on like get in and get out. You know? I'm big on give the people what they either paid or were told they were coming there for, and not too much more. And so to me, an event, whenever I throw events, I want them to be concise. Like, okay, 2 hours was what we did yesterday. Okay. First hour, open mic. Second hour, the four performers, in and out. You know what I'm saying? I think it literally went maybe 2 hours and 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And so any event that either goes over time or has too much like dead space, like, you know, the host talking too long, DJ not being prepared, you know, like things like that. I think that like that's not being shady to anybody, but I think those are the growing pains of throwing events. But that's what makes an event bad to me. And an event that just has no direction, like you know what I'm saying? Like I'm throwing an event just to throw an event. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're charging people, like you should be trying to create an experience. Curate an experience. You know. So that's
That's dope. Yeah. I wanted to sort of circle back into like your upbringing in your household. When it came to you, like you know, taking music seriously, and you mentioned like Chicago authors, how big was like open mics to you as a, as an artist coming up? Like, were you someone that was actively, you know, looking to go, you know, sort of put yourself out there and, you know, spit at these local events? How was that? Were you doing anything like that coming up?
Yeah, my origin is a little unique in that sense that I didn't start going to open mics until I was 18. Okay. I didn't attend a single open mic before that. I didn't start publicly rapping until the summer after I graduated from high school, or it might have been the summer after my first year of college, actually.
Really?
So I didn't come up in the open mic scene per se, but also I started rapping late.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so because I started rapping late, there was this other thing at my college called Expression, which was like very similar to the vibes of Young Chicago Authors. It was like a student-led organization that was based around art. And they basically just had, you would come, you would perform. But like the unique thing about the space was that when you perform, you were allowed to get two critiques from the executive board to improve your art. You know what I'm saying? And I had never been to no shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I had never performed in nothing like that. Because like I said, I didn't start rapping until I was 18. So my first year there, or maybe my second year there, I don't remember, one of the two, I started attending, you're getting these critiques now. And now it's like you're leaving better than you came. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so I guess you could consider Expression an open mic. But it was so unique, it didn't feel like open mic night, you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't like sign-up lists. You came in there and like folks raised their hands, you know what I'm saying? Who wants to go next?
Because
it was smaller when I first got there. But then, over the course of my time at Northern, it got huge, like huge, you know what I'm saying? Over like 250 people every week in there, you know what I'm saying? We didn't got kicked out of rooms, like all time, you know what I'm saying? Like fire hazards and shit like that.
Yeah.
Had to start doing the list, you know what I'm saying? So it grew. And some midway through college, I was like, yo, I want to start hitting these Chicago open mics.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So I hit up a homie, was like, yeah, like, can you recommend some spots to go to? And he told me to go to Wordplay. He told me to go to, I keep forgetting the name, but there was another one that used to be on the low end. What was that thing called? Oh my goodness. I can't remember. There was another one I used to go to. There was one called Friday Night Lights I would go to. But Wordplay at Young Chicago Authors was like the main one. But I'm already in my 20s once I started going to Wordplay.
Okay.
So I didn't come up in there, but I'm still a young rapper at that time. So technically I did grow in there.
Yeah.
So Wordplay was the first like real open mic I went to, and I'm like, oh, this shit is crazy. You know what I'm saying? And fortunately for me, I didn't have that experience of like not getting called multiple times. No, they called me the first day I went, and the rest is history. I'm like, niggas heard it. I already got my training that expression. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not you, niggas know. You feel me? And so I'm like, let me come to Chicago. Very grateful that I did get called the first few times I went, and I started building from there, and just kept going to Wordplay, and then I think I went for about a year and a half. Then became an employee in 2016.
Oh, wow.
And so that was kind of when it shifted from being an attendee to like hosting the open mic when I had the opportunity and things like that. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I would say my chops definitely came from Northern. Northern did it. And then like Chicago, you know, a lot of folks at Northern are from Chicago. So the crowd wasn't that different. It was just different rules. Like people at NIU was rude. Like if he was fucking up, they laughed. Like at Wordplay, like, you know, it was a safe space. You feel me? And so like, You encourage when people tweak, you know what I'm saying? So I think that in different ways, I got my chops from both. I think what I got from Wordplay was like being like the people you're on that list with are so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like at Northern, I was the best, you know what I'm saying? When I came here, I'm like, oh, all of us are superheroes, you know what I'm saying? And so I think what I got from there was like, oh, no, next time I'm a Wordplay, my rap got to be harder than that. Like I remember I did a song that I used to perform at NIU a lot there, and it went over well, but I'm like, that shit was ass. Like, in my head, I'm like, that's not the vibe for this space. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you can't be doing that song here.
Yeah.
And I think that it trains you to just, like, iron sharpen iron. I think that's what I got from Wordplay. You know what I'm saying?
So who was there at the time you was looking at, and you like, man, like, this nigga doing his thing.
Nice,
I know you had some.
Yeah, FemDot.
Yep. Shout out to
MF and Mello. Mm-hmm. He's the first person. I think he's the first person from Pivot Gang I ever heard rap or saw perform at mm-hmm. Wordplay. And the performance that nigga did was incredible. Like, it was incredible. Shut that shit down. Like, and they called him later in the list. So, like, other people are, this nigga got on stage, got everybody on stage with him, just, like, holding it down. His voice is reaching the back of the room. So, MF and Mello, Iman Loren, phenomenal poet, who also ended up being a coworker of mine at YCA. I'm trying to think, because it's some more heavy hitters. Mikewell. Let me think. I want to make sure I'm really like... Brittany Carter was in there.
Shout out Brittany Carter.
Legends in the making.
Yeah, no, it was real. I feel like there's more people who was just like, oh, this nigga's amazing. Those were the main people... I know I'm forgetting somebody, but those were the main ones who was like every week. Like, there's this lady named Mudda Goose, and she, I think she's like a visual artist now, but she was so fire. Like, she was, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Bella Bars is in there.
Oh, when I was in there.
Uh-huh. So yeah, those are the main people who stick out right now. But it was,
some spitters.
Yeah, man.
That's tough.
Yeah. Oh, Ace Da Vinci, another one who was in there, always going crazy. Yeah. I could do that. Yeah, but that's a few of them.
So like, with you, like, starting music at NIU, bro, did you ever think that you could, like, take it this far, like, with hosting and doing your music too, bro?
Absolutely. Was that the goal?
Was that the goal the whole time? Like,
my goals are still bigger than that, but it was second nature. Like, it was like, I appreciate that y'all appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? For me, it's like, that's just part of what I do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just part of the resume. Like, if I'm finna go hoop, gotta have my shoes, I gotta have my shorts, gotta have my high socks so I don't get fried. You know what I'm saying? I gotta have one, a comfortable t-shirt, you know what I'm saying? I gotta tuck my chains, I gotta have the hair tie for my hair. Like, that's all. And to me, being able to control the room is just part of my rap repertoire, you know what I'm saying?
People not thinking like that, man.
And so for me, like, I think it still happened at Northern, though, when I realized I want this to be part of my repertoire. Like, I think I'm an entrepreneur, you know, at heart. And so, like, being able to talk to people has always been important to me because I want to communicate. I want to be able to, you know, run my business well. You know, I believe in connecting with people and interacting with people genuinely. And so I think it developed at NIU, but it's been a part of, like, the game. For a very long time, to where it's like, I'm glad y'all value that. Y'all are making me even see the value even more seeing it. But for me, it's like I wake up and that's just part of who I am. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Because I feel like when I you know, see you and, like, you know, see the way you move, it's businessman like. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's professional structure.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I think about, like, you know, just outside of, like, what you built as Matt Muse, like, you know, like, you're building brands, necessarily. Yeah. And I think that is, like, exactly what you should be doing, bro. The type of person you are now, hearing it. And, like, I feel like more people should venture off and, like, do something like you're doing, because you're putting people on.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing really great things and really, like, doing shit for the culture and making people enjoy these things that you're doing.
Love.
Because I'm telling you, like, and we could, like, segue into, like, love and nappiness, because... Yeah. When I pulled up to that, bro, like, I'm gonna be honest with you, it was funny because, like, I don't even know why. I feel like an old ass man now. But, like, when I'd be in the passenger seat, like, sometimes I'd be nodding off, bro. I'd be sleeping.
Yeah, I feel that.
Nodding off.
I feel that.
So I was sleep in the car, bro. My girl driving. We pull up to the spot. I'm tired as hell. Mm-hmm. But, like, right when we got in there, bro, and, like, just seeing, like, just the whole, like, energy and just everything, how it was laid out, because I got a VIP seat, and just seeing just everything, like,
thank you,
that y'all just seeing everything that y'all put on, bro, it was amazing, bro. Appreciate, like, what you got going on for real. But let's get into love and happiness. Like, when did that start, bro?
2019. So I released an album in 2019 called Love and Happiness.
You're right.
Wasn't created with this in mind. Mm-hmm. I just made an album called Love and Happiness, which is the second in a series of projects about my hair, or inspired by my growth of my hair. So we dropped the album on, like, August 11th of 2019 or something like that. We sold out Shubas right after that. bada bing, bada boom, cool. Mm-hmm. It happens. And I think we were so focused on the pre for the album and the project, and we're learning as we go. We didn't do a lot of like post.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any post in mind. Once we did the headline, we were like, "Ooh, we had like a Lyrical Lemonade interview set up." We did that, and it was just like, after that, it was like crickets. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Merch was another thing too. But I was raised, you know, I'm not no longer religious, but I was raised in the church. You know, I was mm-hmm. raised to give back. I was raised to, you know, give to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when like coming up on the winter of 2019, I was like, damn, like it would be really cool if I found a way to like keep this energy of the Hair Talk going through giving back.
I feel you.
And I don't remember exactly how the idea struck me, but it struck me and I was like, oh, like you could do like a drive, you know what I'm saying? But not a toy drive. What if you did a hair care drive and like you collected hair care products and like donated them to people in need? Because at the time, as I'm learning about upkeeping my hair, the shit's expensive, you know what I'm saying?
Yep,
but it's a lot of black people, you know what I'm saying, in shelters, a lot of people who have the same hair as us that don't have the privilege to afford those products or mm-hmm. even that knowledge, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying, of what to use and not to use and things like that. And so I was like, yeah, those same people deserve to be able to upkeep themselves just like we do, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I understand, you know, that like food drives and things like that, those are like necessities, and I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. Mine is not a necessity technically, but it's like, it's important, you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, why, yeah.
Just because you are less fortunate doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to feel good, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you walk outside and look good at your job interview, that could be the next step, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You leaving homelessness, you know what I'm saying? And so that was the energy behind it. And I was like, yeah, let's do a hair care drive. Like, I'm the type of person where when I have an idea and I fuck with it, I execute it. Like, and we see that, you know, we see how it's gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to my community, it's so crazy saying it out loud. We literally just winged that shit. I just called a bunch of artists like, hey, we got boxes. Y'all want to come paint on these boxes? You know, I had a team of people helping me like think through locations. So we thought through locations and then beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
We set it up maybe in like a month. And that was the first iteration of it. And then completely separate from the drive, I'm still kind of feeling that like, damn, we don't have no post shit for this album. And like this album is really, really good. Let me do like a stripped down performance of the album.
Uh-huh.
And that was what the Long Hair Don't Care show. So the first Long Hair Don't Care show was on March 1st of 2020.
Uh-huh.
Had nothing to do with the hair care drive. It was my own show that I put on, and it was a stripped down performance of Love and Happiness, the album,
mm-hmm.
With a band and everything. And we did it at a hair salon, who was also one of our donation locations called mm-hmm. Yo U. Shout out Yolanda at Yo U. We put that on. Red Bull gave us like $400 in the DJ table. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
we had like poets from the Poetry Festival come and do poems in the beginning. Then, you know, I wrapped the project. And then the pandemic hits, you know what I'm saying? So there's a year where nothing, you know, obviously nothing's mm-hmm. happening. But we did the drive again in 2020 and we got so many products. And similar to when the idea struck me for the drive, 2021, it's like August, I'm planning the drive mm-hmm. with Naira, who also runs Love and Happiness with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It just came to me. Literally, it's just like something was like, what if you like threw the Long Hair Don't Care show again, but like at a venue and like uh-huh. made it bigger and uh-huh. like had sponsors and uh-huh. blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it's August, you know what I'm saying? The show would have had to have been in December.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just like, nah, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Called Naira and I was like, I had this idea of doing this show. What do you think? She's like, nigga, do that shit.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling y'all, had I not talked to Naira about it, I probably wouldn't have done it. So I want to give her flowers for being
that's
like, for believing in the idea, because I was having doubts about it. I was like, you're silly. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? What are you doing? Luckily, I have a tremendous amount of respect for and love from Jamila Woods. And so I felt comfortable reaching out to her about headlining it. I explained mm-hmm. it to her. She supports the call. She already supported the drive.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, yeah, my schedule is open for me to be your headliner. And I think that was like, once we got Jamila solidified, uh-huh. that was when everything became very real.
Let's go.
Yeah. And so when we're talking to sponsors, and it's like, first of all, Jamila just aligns with the mission of Love and Happiness so well, because I think I even got my love from natural hair and like from observing her music, you know,
mm-hmm.
And growing a friendship with her. But once we got her locked in, so many sponsors were like, oh yeah, hell yeah. And so it made having the headliner solidified made it so much easier to get people to buy into the idea of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest thing was the execution of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, that was the second Long Hair Don't Care show, but it was the first one that was like sold tickets at a venue, blah, 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 at the Metro. About 500 something tickets sold. And everybody was like, that shit was amazing.
Uh-huh,
like, yeah, motherfuckers was, they loved it. And I was like, oh, we gonna keep doing it. And so then this past year, December was our third one technically, but our second one at the venue at Talia Hall. And it was even better than that's the one at the Metro. Saying, bro, I don't even remember what the original question was, but that's like the, I think you just asked the origin of like, that's how it all came about. And so right now we're going to keep the drive going, but, and the show going as well. So they're in tandem now. So like I said, I pointed out that they were separate at first, just so y'all can understand the origin, but now we do them in tandem. So the Long Hair Don't Care show is the culminating event for the drive. And we also donate a portion of the proceeds from the show to the beneficiaries as well as the products that we collect. And then bar for bar, the way I positioned it was like, hey, like, and you know, I have a team now, thank God, some amazing people on my team with Love and Nappiness. And when we finished up the amazing show in December, I was like, hey, like, one of the things I don't like about what we're doing is that we go dark for 9 months, basically of the year after the show.
Exactly, they
don't hear from us again until October when we announce the drive. And I was like, we need to do more programming during the year so we can build a community of people
100%,
who understand our mission. 100%. And like, what are some smaller events we can do that align with our mission that build up to the hair care drive and the show versus like, oh, we back, y'all. You know what I'm saying? especially because especially because we've seen wavering in our donations yearly. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, I'm like, if you upkeep your community, they'll remember. Your name is now second nature, and maybe that person would be more willing to go grab, you know, a shampoo or a hair lotion and donate it when that comes around. And so Bar for Bar is the first event outside of the drive of the show that we've ever done under the Love and Happiness name. And we got another one coming up in a couple, another event coming up in a couple months. And we're going to just try to do small events leading up into the You Dig now. But yeah, that's the whole origin of the You Dig.
Bro, you just dropped a 101 on how to throw an event. Yo, if you listening to this, take notes.
As I was saying it, I was like, that's game. Yeah, take notes, bro. That's how we did it.
I love it. I love how it's driven by like your values and the mission. And you brought in a team to help you. A lot of people, you know, think they can do it all by themselves.
Cannot.
You got to have a team, man. Yeah. It takes a village for real.
Can't do it by yourself. Super dope. Get you a good team.
And I love that, like, you know, like the whole drive, because like, to be honest, like that's the biggest like component, like with people now is their mental, you know what I'm saying? And that's big, you know, with the, as simple as, you know, somebody having hair products, like that's actually huge.
You know what I'm saying?
Because that could for real change somebody's mental, for real change the way they think about themselves because, you know, them looking at themselves, it could change that. And I want to ask you, like we're going to get into some event questions, you feel me? Like, I want to ask you, like, how do you, like, you know, pick, like, choose the people you want, like, for, like, to the headline and, like, stuff like that? Does it just correspond with, like, what you're trying to do with the event? Or is it like, oh, like, I'm really fucking with their music? Or, like how do you, like, go about that? Because you have some nice lineups. I will tell you that for real.
Thank you.
And I feel like they are thought out.
They are, yeah. I just, you know, I think I have good taste. And so I just based on who I like, you know what I'm saying? It's usually a me. If it's not me and Naira, I usually also talk to Olu or Dominique. And just ask them, like, hey, who would be good for this? You know what I'm saying? If you ask any of them, they'll tell you they've had that conversation with me 30 times. You know what I'm saying? But normally it's rooted in either my own taste, because I trust my taste a lot, or other people whose taste I trust. But I think too, like, and I was telling this to the team too, you know, with the show, the origin of the show is super important because it is a benefit show, but it's also like, it's like my baby, you know what I'm saying? Like, I created this for a reason, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to create a really dope event, and I'm happy that that's happened. And so there's a part of it that's like, what do I like? Like, I think this shit is dope. They think this shit is dope. I trust myself, so I'm going to keep trusting myself and being like, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I do pick artists whose music resonates with me first and foremost. Like, I don't even make a lineup of people. Like, when we make our list of who can headline or perform, it's always people we rock with. It's never 100%. Like, oh, this person would sell a million tickets.
He could bring out.
Yeah, you know, no, it's not that. Yeah. Even if they could sell a million tickets, it has to be a person who resonates with me or, you know, my team. So that's how we curate it. It's usually based on what I like, you know, and I'm glad y'all like it too. You know what I'm saying? No, yeah.
For real. And I love that you're, you know, doing more events, because that's the type of thinking you got to have, bro. Yeah. That's why you got that business mentality, bro. Yeah, like you said, like, you can't just have, like, come around every 9 months and be like, you know, we're here for another show. Like, you got to keep, you know, leading people on, segueing them into different things.
Consistency.
And exactly. And I love that. And, like, you recently told us that you're in L.A. So, like, when did that move, like, happen? Like, and,
I'm back and forth.
And how is it?
Like, I'm back and forth.
Okay.
It's cool when I'm out there. It's cool. I need the energy of that space sometimes as a creative. I love nature. You know, nature is, I love animals. I love trees. I be bird watching. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people don't know that. Yeah, I bird watch. And it's a recent, you know, activity I took up. But LA has so much natural beauty that not all of Chicago, especially Chicago, has the burbs do. But I, you know, mountains and shit. You know what I'm saying? To be able to go from a mountain range and then drive an hour and now you're at the beach. That's not present here, you know? And so I think being out there inspires me in that way. And then my manager lives out there too. So it's cool to be in tune with her out there as well. And just build. But yeah, I'm doing the back and forth thing for now, just seeing how I like it. But when I'm out there, it's a good time, and it always inspires me to create.
I feel you. Did you make your recent single out there? Leave Here?
No, I made it here.
You record out there though? Like, are you making music?
I have a studio that I go to when I'm out there. Nothing that's out yet.
Okay.
Has been recorded there, but I have recorded a lot of songs. Yeah. I did leave here here with Boathouse at Soundscape when it was still Soundscape. Now it's Classic. That, you know, I just bought it. But yeah, that's why I did that one.
That was over here, because I heard that track. You played that track at the show. Didn't
I did.
You?
I did like three new joints at the show. The other two are not out, but yeah, Leave Here was one of them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get into that, because you said you're about to have a music video drop for that.
Yeah. So we hopefully this week. I think this coming week we're gonna drop it. If not this coming week, definitely the week after. We're gonna do a music video for it. We shot it in LA, so it's the first video I've ever shot not in Chicago, I think. Or not in Illinois. Which is cool. Also my first video shot in LA. And it was directed by John Levert, who's just a very talented videographer. He's an actor as well. Just super talented. And just a really cool dude. Like, it was like a shotgun. I didn't have a lot of bread for it. So, like, he was kind of just like, I got the camera. Let's just, you know. And like, run a gun, literally. And I'm scared of heights.
Really?
Terrified of heights. And so, there's a lot of heights in LA. And I don't think people take me seriously, you know what I'm saying, when I tell them that you said I'm scared of heights. And so John has, like, these ideas for the video and shit. And one of them is this really cool looking shot that's in the nighttime where he's like flashing a flashlight on me while I rap. It looks kind of like Blair Witch Project vibes. But the space he wanted to shoot it in was at the top of this like big ass hill. And so we're going towards it. And so when we're driving around, he's like, yeah, so this is where I'm thinking about going, here. So he said that place and I was like, you know, I'm scared of heights. Like, you know, it's not that high. Like, he's like, no, it's fine. Blah, blah, blah. Cool. Absolutely bullshitting. And maybe to him, it wasn't that crazy. But for me, so we go. And it's like the way this hill is, like, there's no fucking guardrail, you know what I'm saying? You just going in like a circle to get up and you're getting higher and higher. The city is, you can see it's below you now and there's no guardrail. And it's like two lanes. And I'm just like, I'm looking at him like, bro, where are we going? I'm like, what's up? And he's like, yeah, we're just, I was like, nah, like, I told you, I'm, you know, he's like, oh, it's like that bad? I was like, yeah, nigga, I told you. I'm like, yeah, it's that bad. We got to the top and I think it was another shot that he wanted to shoot. That was somewhere high, and he was like, I didn't realize it was that bad. I was like, yeah, we're not shooting nowhere else. He was like, well, we might need to come back here to get another shot. I was like, I'm not coming back here. I was like, we need to get every single thing right here, now. Right now. Because after we leave here, I'm not coming back up here. But yeah, like, that's how much running gun it was. But I think it turned out really, really good. He's just super talented, really good with effects too. So I like the effects in the video. I don't have a video that has a bunch of effects yet. So this is like my first one that's really like, it's like I think the youngins would like it. If you like TikTok, you probably, it's like hell, no shot lasts longer than a second and a half. So I'm like, but I think it also matches the energy of the song. So I'm excited to drop it.
Yeah. I feel you. Like music wise, like what else you got coming out other than the video? Like, are you working on a, you said you're working on a project,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm working on something. So I've been working on an album for like 2 years. That's in the works. Don't know when it's going to come out. Maybe next year. That's what I'm thinking. But I want to get it right and get it done. But in the meantime, I'm sitting on a bunch of songs. So I think we're going to do some tapes and some EPs. Hopefully drop a tape this summer. We'll see. But definitely some singles in the meantime. I think once the spring comes back, or like once spring springs, you know what I'm saying? After we drop the video, we definitely going to do a couple more singles. And we might be able to get a tape in, you know, mid-summer. That's the goal. But yeah, we're sitting on like 3 music videos right now. It's a beautiful space. I've never had this experience before. Where we did the content first before the scheduling, and it is the best feeling in the world just to know that I have 3 music videos that I can drop whenever the hell I feel like it. You know what I'm saying? Versus like I dropped Leave Here this week and now I don't know
what else.
You know what I'm saying? We shot a video in LA a couple weeks ago. We had the space for an hour. We shot the whole video in an hour. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this, those type of vibes, I like that shit. You know what I'm saying? Where the art is just kind of like purely creating itself almost. And that's how you get around to being able to sit on music and sit on songs. So my goal now that I know that is to do this every time. We're going to stockpile everything. Keep stockpiling, and we'll schedule when we're ready to schedule. But the goal is to drop a tape and a couple EPs and some singles throughout the year. But definitely this summer, I'm trying to get a tape in. Fingers crossed we can make that happen.
I feel you, man. I feel like you come up with consistency, man.
Yeah. That's the word. That's like my word of the year is consistency. Like, I need to be more consistent. I think that, you know, sometimes I feel like the game changed really fast. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Social media changed, especially social media plus pandemic, like the whole game just like, you know, quickly got away from me. And I'm the type of person, I like to drop something and disappear. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to see me for 3 months on social media. You know what I'm saying? But then I'm back. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my energy. And I like doing that, and I think it works, but I think when you're still growing and building your audience, especially in these days, like, you need to, there has to be something that they can engage with damn near at all times. And so, I've always wanted to be a person who can adapt, not be stuck in my ways. You know, I always think about, like, the three-point shot in the NBA, you know what I'm saying? And how, like, because I've been watching basketball for so long, like, even these scores this year have been crazy. Like, they're so high. And I remember when it was normal for games to end in the 90 to 80 something, you know what I'm saying? 88 to 85, you know what I'm saying? Especially being a Bulls fan when they had that defense, you know what I'm saying? With Rose and Noah. And so, but what you see is like, you either sink or you swim. Like, the 3-point shot took over the league and now everybody's shooting threes, you know what I'm saying? Unless you are really, really good at a specific thing, like working in the post, you got to know how to shoot, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I want to be able to say that I adapted to the game versus like, either gave up or did it my way because that's the way I know. Fuck all that. Like, exactly. You know what I'm saying? I need to be more consistent. If that's what I got to do, I'm going to just make it my own. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't got to do it. I'm not going to be no content creator or nothing like that. But like, what does consistency for Matt Muse look like? And that's what I'm, you know, trying to execute.
Man, I love that you brought that up because that's real, man. That is real.
Yeah, man.
And I wanted to, and that's crazy that you segued into that because I wanted to ask you this question. Like, what do you think is like the difference between like, I guess music, like, you know, I guess 5 to 10 years ago compared to now, you know, or I guess like somebody that's dropping, you know, content as far as like music wise, like what's the difference between, you know, then and now? Because I feel like you kind of like, you know, we're talking about
this.
Definitely you have to have consistency. Yeah, that is for sure. It's one the biggest thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think the biggest change is how consistent you have to be dropping or being on social media. I think that's it's social media. Like, and it's crazy to say 5 years ago because technically Instagram been here the whole time. But I even think the way Instagram has changed its platform, it's like, oh, we're now a video-based app. Like, we are not prioritizing photos anymore. And I'm
exactly.
Like, the fucking picture of y'all app is literally a fucking like, bro, like, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so I think that, you know, I loved Instagram. Like, you know, I had been on Facebook, I had been on Twitter, I had a MySpace, but I thought Instagram got it right. I was like, wow, a photo app where niggas can post like a beautiful picture of whatever the fuck, and like we can like pictures, nigga. We all photographers now. Like, I was so excited about that shit. You know what I'm saying?
The filters and
yeah, yeah, I'm like, damn, we doing it. Like, man, I always go back and look at my old posts, and I'm just like, wow, like. My IG used to be so pure. Like, it was just about enjoying posting photos. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. But, you know, when we utilize these tools as self-promotion, you have to, you end up kind of becoming a victim of where it changes and how it goes. And yes. So I think one of the biggest changes is this shift to video content, you know, which I think is really great. Like, I think it's really great. I think it's changed because there's just a difference between you, like, y'all, I'm sure y'all have probably experienced like text message tone issues with people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hell yeah.
And that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Like, you could say the same thing to your lady, or she could say the same thing to you in a text, and you could completely misread that shit. You know what I'm saying? And then when she says it to you in person, or you say it to them in person, oh, okay, I feel you. I got it. And that to me is why video is so important. Mm-hmm. Like, you can feel the energy of the person through the lens, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that shift is the biggest shift. Like, and it's good. It's really good for those consuming the content, but for content creators or artists, now I have to spend so much more fucking time. You know what I'm saying? Like, and to me, time is so valuable, you know? I'm trying to prioritize my mental health. Like, I don't want to sit on my fucking phone all day. Like, I don't want, it takes so, I don't know, people perfect it and I fuck with that. But for me, like, sitting around trying to make a video, you know what I'm saying, to the end of, like, you fucking with me, I don't really, you know,
for real.
I can rap, like, I'm here to rap, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? Yeah. And so I think there's always the space where, like, content creation is definitely its own thing.
Yep.
Being an artist is its own thing. And I think there's just, you got to find that medium. And I think that's the biggest change. Like, you have to find a medium to engage with your fan like you're face-to-face. Like, there's no more, 100%. You know what I'm saying? A blog not finna make you famous no more. You know what I'm saying? It's not gonna happen. The biggest thing that can happen for you is you reaching somebody and that somebody sharing your shit. And then it blossoms, you know what I'm saying, from there. Or you being able to curate in-person interaction. And I think that's the one beauty, you know, that still remains. Like, at the end of the day, it's a lot of this internet stuff that I don't think is, and I'm not no fucking expert, but from what I've heard, doesn't always translate into sold out shows.
Yep. Hell,
you know what I'm saying?
Hell,
yeah. And I think that if you find the key to perfecting your internet presence so that people understand your art and then therefore want to spend money on it and come out to see it, that's, you know what I'm saying? And that's the thing that I'm trying to perfect with my consistency. Like, I'm not trying to be the next Instagram, TikTok star. No, but I am trying to say, okay, when I post this freestyle, 30 niggas from out south who ain't never heard of me are going to see it because such and such is going to repost it. That nigga is going to then follow me and see that I have a show at wherever on next Tuesday. And because the first piece of content was so good, they're going to buy a ticket.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To the in-person show. Mm-hmm. And then when they see me in person, I got them for good.
Yep.
Because that's where I shine at. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of, I'm answering your question. Very long.
That's perfect, bro. I love the way you broke that down, for real.
Yeah.
And we could kind of like get into like the last questions, bro. Like,
yeah,
pretty much, like, do you have anything like to plug, or do you have any other questions,
bro? Oh, sure, bro. You covered a lot, man. Word. I really like how you broke down, you know, the business aspect,
word,
the psychology, the marketing, and today's world of just, you know, consuming content.
I think word.
That's super key. And even just the journey of how that content translates into a real fan and supporter. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that. Like, they put something out into a black hole and think, oh, this person's going to come to my show. Or this person's going to stream my music. Like, nah, there's a process. You really got to dig deeper into that. But I guess the one question I really wanted to ask you was, like, where do you get your inspiration from? Like, what inspires you to continue to wake up every day and do what you do?
Yeah, that's a great question because, I was going to mention, I've really been thinking about mental health a lot lately, you know what I'm saying? I'm coming out of a little funk. I've struggled recently with a lot of like self-doubt, a lot of, you know, imposter syndrome. Hell, and the music that I'm working on is about that. And we can get into that another time. But like there's a lot of good reasons for why I'm experiencing that. And I think for me, I'm trying to find inspiration now just in what I like. Like, I think you know, let's rewind to when I made the comment about like the iron sharpened iron and like, oh, I can't do this song at Wordplay. Mm-hmm. There's a benefit to that. But then there's also like a part of that I think for me started to feel like, am I being my realest self if I'm creating music for this audience? You know what I'm saying? Versus for, or telling my story how the fuck I want to tell it. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
And I think for a few years there, I kind of leaned more into the, like, okay, what sounds good? What is good to these people who I want to impress or who I want to like my music or listen to my music? And like, I think I did good at it, but it's also like, nah, like that's not like, the perfect example is like, I have a song called Love Wrong. And in the second verse, and I've said this before in other interviews, but it's important. In the second verse, I make a mention of like, so there's like a metaphor for sex in there. You know what I'm saying? The song is about a relationship, but, and I mentioned like, we make up something about sex, cool, whatever. But I said it in such a fucking like artsy ass way. You know what I'm saying? I grew up on Wayne, man. I'm a Wayne fan. I'm a Jay-Z fan. I'm a Kanye fan. Like, damn Kanye. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up a Kanye fan. And I'm a straight shooter. I'm a blunt person. You know what I'm saying? And you can be blunt and respectful at the same time. But I think that I was like diminishing the way that I'm speaking. Like, I wasn't trying to sound cool. Mm-hmm. I was scared to talk about sex openly because of how such and such would feel about it or how it would come off. And I'm just like, I don't want to do that. And that's just an example. But like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm confining myself and who I am for the sake of pleasing the most people possible.
I just want to rap right now.
My inspiration right now is like, I just want to rap, bro. Like, I just want to make the music that I like. I just want to have fun. Yep. I don't give a fuck if it's good to a nigga or not. Like, I want to feel like that. I don't ever want to feel what I feel when I play Love Wrong ever again. Where I'm like, why did I say that like that?
Yeah.
I want to play some shit and be like, damn, nigga, that's exactly how you wanted to say that shit and you said it.
Unfiltered and everything.
Literally, and these songs that I'm working on all have that energy. So my biggest inspiration is just getting back to my roots and being bold and confident in who I am and being inspired by the art that made me that person initially. And so I'm inspired by taking care of myself, you know, speaking on my mental health and these struggles that I've had with this imposter syndrome. And then, confidence. Like, I like this and so I'm doing it. That's my inspiration right now. What do I like? What do you like, Matt? What do you want to say? Say that shit. You know what I'm saying? What's the song you want to make? You want to make a fucking polka song? Make that shit. Drop that shit. Fuck what niggas is talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I love that. So that's the...
I think that's a great attitude to have.
I love that because that's how you need to be coming, bro, for real.
Unapologetically, just be yourself.
And you would be, probably not surprised, like everybody comes on here and they do have that, they do kind of bring up imposter syndrome and things like that, of that nature, bro. And, you know, a lot of people go through that, and with you just bringing it up and, you know, speaking on it, like, it's just going to help people and it's going to help you when you live. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you let it out, bro, you feel me?
Yeah.
It all fucking gets better, you feel me?
Yeah.
But on some real shit, but I guess we'll end on that note.
Hell yeah. What else, my guy? Nah, that's it with me. Matt, if you want to pop your shit, you know, let the people know where to find you and where to tap in.
What else you got going on? If you got a date for the event coming up, or what else you got?
I'm Matt Muse once again. Thank y'all to Together Flower for having me. Cool. You can find me everywhere at MattMuse12. That's my social medias and Apple Music, Spotify, whatever you listen to music on, I'm right there. Go listen to Leave Here. That's what I want y'all to be ready for, the video that's finna come out for Leave Here with me, produced by Boathouse. And just be on the lookout. I got things coming, and I don't have a specific date that I'm finna give y'all, but like, how about just follow me? And there's a lot of cool things very, very soon. And I'm excited about it. And they're all in the vein of what I just said at the end about like being my fullest self. And so, you know, and I want to encourage y'all to be y'all fullest self. Take care of your mentals. Take care of your chickens, like Marshawn Lynch said.
Let's go.
Cool.
Hey, let's get it. Fresh Flowers Podcast. We are out.